Read to you for our text this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll read verse 8 that we looked at last time. Let me start back in verse 7. Our focus is going to be verse 9 this morning. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding from your word this morning, that your spirit would guide us, that we would follow your Son and live for his glory based upon the truth and the power of your word. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we have examined how we are to hold fast to the love of the brethren. If you remember right, that word there is to grip tight, love, earnest love, fervently grasp on to the love of the brethren. And then we saw a couple weeks ago, for love covers a multitude of sins. We examined that. And if you missed it, I'd highly encourage you to go back, listen to those sermons. It is critical for our life here in the body of Christ. But we come to verse 9 today, and we see the topic of hospitality come to view. Let me talk for a moment about hospitality and then kind of introduce the way we're going to approach this today. First of all, hospitality can mean a few different things, and they're all, you know, very easily related. It at its root is sharing food and lodging with a guest, a visitor, a friend, a traveler, or an exile. You'll see it used that way throughout the scriptures. Sharing food and lodging, provision with those who are traveling or exiled especially. Does that have bearing in Peter's epistle here? To the chosen exile scattered throughout the area, you can see how Peter's words here are saying you may encounter a fellow exile in your time of exile. Open up your home. Open up your lodging. Share your food. Bless them in that way. Now, it can mean this sort of sharing of food and lodging and provision either out of fellowship or out of need. It doesn't have to just be one or the other. There are times we are called to show hospitality because people need it. And there are times to show hospitality also because they need it, not the food or the provision itself, but they need the fellowship. And you need the fellowship. Hospitality is in view here. And it can often also be found in the scriptures hand in hand, where it's almost interchangeable with the idea of sharing and giving. And so there are times hospitality is remote. I call it Uber hospitality, I guess, at that point. Thank you for those that smile. There are times when it is more of collecting and then donating and sending provision to others, especially to those exiled believers or orphaned believers. And so it can have the idea of giving a provision to it as well. But I want us to look at this today and see all of these things today. Think through these things, either see them in the scripture, think about it, how it can be in our own lives. But I want us to do this by looking at hospitality as much more than a practical service. I want us today to talk about the theology of hospitality. See, this is not just, hey, you're a believer, you should be nice and share. You are a believer, you should be nice and share. But it's not just out of our niceness. It is reflecting the nature and the character of God when we do so. And I want us to consider it in that light today. First of all, number one, I want to make sure you see the theology of God's sovereignty in hospitality. Have you ever thought about it in those terms? The theology of God's sovereignty when he calls you to take what he has given to you, himself. What do you have that you were not given, right? Take what God has given to you to share with those whom God has brought into your life at this particular moment, this juncture in which you're going through. I mean, think about all of the areas of this world that you could be in. And God has placed you at this moment in time with somebody else to share very close space with. This is not luck. This is not coincidence. This is God's sovereignty in this. Think about whom God is asking us to show this hospitality to. Remember back chapter 1, verse 3? According to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again. Who's the us here in light of hospitality? My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are showing hospitality with another believer, if you are sharing your food, lodging, provision, whatever it may be, you can look at them and realize God has done this. God's done it in their heart. He's done it in your heart. He's given to you at that moment so that you can give to this one whom he has cared about so much that he invaded this world in which we live to give them life and to cause them to be born again. It's no coincidence that we see a discussion in 1 Peter about God has caused us to be born again and now show hospitality towards one another that God has saved. Later in chapter 1, verse 20, listen to all the sovereignty language here. He, Jesus, was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. That's sovereignty. God invading time, invading space, and doing something for our sakes. How much of that did you do? God. For the sake of you who through him are believers in God. So even our faith is because of him and through him. Who through him are believers in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. Do you see God's sovereignty in that? So that your faith and your hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for, listen to this, a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from the heart, from a pure heart, since you have been born again. Did you see how that just worked from God's sovereign action in our lives so that we will be loving one another, the others whom God has shown this sovereign grace in their lives and brought us together so that we have the opportunity to minister to one another by God's sovereign design. Wow. Later in chapter 2, verse 9, look there. But you are a chosen race composed of all ethnicities. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you've received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, and he goes on, put all that together for a moment. God has made us, who are a bunch of non-integrated individuals who were not in union with him, he's made us not only his people, but he's made us a people. He's brought us together into the same body. He's made us brothers and sisters in Christ. He has done this. This is not accidental hospitality. God has a purpose to it, as he himself has designed it. And please listen to this. Close out my first point of seeing God's sovereignty in this theology of hospitality. When you host another believer, or share in what God has given you with them. You are doing so not just because you're nice, which I hope you are, but because you are acknowledging God is working in this relationship, that the kingdom is coming through this fellowship, and that God is glorified in your hospitality. God is sovereign. And the people that he has brought into your lives that are believers, he saved. And it's no accident. And when he commands you to show hospitality to them, celebrate his sovereignty in that. Secondly, the theology of hospitality not only shows the sovereignty of God, but it shows the provision of God. And if we think for a moment, is that really Hyfe theology? Doesn't that belong kind of in the back of the book? There's theology proper, there's theology practical, and then maybe that. Oh wait, God identifies himself, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. It's who he is. And now he calls you, dear believer, to take what he has provided for you out of his sovereign provision and bestow it upon someone else. Think about that. That's amazing, isn't it? And the scriptures celebrate this fact. 2 Corinthians 8:14. Your abundance at the present time should supply the need of others so that their abundance at a future time may supply your need. That's how God works. That's what God tells us in his word he's doing. And if we're ever at the point of wondering, I don't know where the next meal is going to come from, I don't know where this is going to come from. Okay. God provides. And he provides to his people so that they can provide to his people. And then when they provide to those people, they turn around and do this to others, all showing God provides. Again, it's nice. I like playing cards with you people. You guys have done this. I get more out of it than I've ever given God glory for, I think, after studying this passage. God is at work. And again, this isn't just getting together for game night. This is feeding one another. This is seeing one another in a time of need and saying, now you need this hospitality more than I just want to share in this time of fellowship. Your abundance at the present time should supply their needs so that their abundance may supply your need. Wow. Acts chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there. I want to read a couple of passages there and then another one from 2 Corinthians with you looking at the text here. Acts chapter 4. Beginning in verse 33, the word says this. You're familiar with the context. I won't go into a lot of it here. If not, just read chapter 4 at some point. But we get to verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. David, you were right this morning when you said Jesus, love, and resurrection is right there. Great grace was upon them all. Verse 34. There was not a needy person among them. Wow. God provided for them, didn't he? Did God provide for them? So that there would not be a needy person among them. How did God provide for them? There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they shared and provided the need for one another. That's hospitality right there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Read three verses here in this chapter. I think I'm going to write the makers of Bible software and smartphone Bible apps to put in a new feature that will sense when you're turning, and it'll play a noise of paper flipping. Okay, it would just do us well. I love that sound. Makes us know we're all turning to the Word together. Copyright Steve Ward 2021. Intellectual property. I want to make sure y'all don't take that from me. Actually, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Listen to this. And again, I could read much more around the context of this, but for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The Lord provides. See, when they see this sort of hospitality, this sort of giving, this sort of sacrifice, this sort of provision for the needs of others, it leads to the one place it should: thanksgiving to God, who is the one at work here, in His sovereignty and in His provision. Verse 13, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all of the others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Look at the conclusion. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. There's something about this hospitality and this provision and this giving for the needs of one another which is divinely purposed to lead to the praise of God among God's people. To recognize He is the one doing this, even as we are the ones doing this. Romans 12:13 simply says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. See how it puts those two together? Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. There's theology in this. Next, the theology of peace, of reconciliation, of unity is shown in hospitality. We see reflections of the divine relationship between God and His people as we grow in our knowledge of one another, our care for one another, and our provision for one another. We don't do that unless there is divine peace between us. He is the God of peace, referred that way in the Old Testament and New Testament, and the God of peace. And He has established peace among us. Hospitality is the practical outworking of this peace. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You all know I'm going to turn here in this passage. So critically important. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, and we are somewhat divorced from this context, as it's going to talk about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and what divided them and what Christ has done to reconcile them together into this unity and establish peace between them. Because without that peace, this unity, this relationship's not going to work. Now, we don't have a Jew-Gentile distinction as we walk through our daily lives. We don't, as Gentile people ourselves, feel mistreated by in the way that they would have in these days. But I hope you will see much practical application. If God can break down those dividing walls, those barrier walls, what's standing in our way? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. That feels pretty isolated, doesn't it? Before I go on, just listen to the words there again. You were separated, alienated, and strangers. Not a lot of fellowship when that's describing you. Goes on. Also, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, that's talking about the Gentiles, you who were once far off have been brought in near by what? The blood of Christ. Is the blood of Christ integral to hospitality and fellowship? Yes. 14. For he himself is our peace. Now the English language just will not give us a way to translate that as impactfully as it ought to be understood. Because we can read that and think, oh, he himself is my peace, and he's your peace. And he's my just peace. So I'm going to go off in solitude, sit under a tree on a beautiful spring day, and enjoy the peace that Christ is to me. And that's not what this verse is talking about. Okay? Again, there may be some verses that talk about the peace that passes all understanding, and you may want to go under a tree on a spring day and pray. I'm not taking that away from you. That's not this peace. This is saying he himself is what brings peace between us, our peace. He himself is the reason that you are my brother and sister in Christ, and I am your brother in Christ. Believe me, I could offend you easily. Probably have. Thank you for bearing with me. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the reason any of us could invite any other over and take you into our home and share our food with you, because he himself is our peace. He has broken down the barrier of any dividing wall between us. Is there anything that you would look upon another and say, you know what? I don't think Christ has done enough for you to clean you up enough to come into my house. He himself is our peace, who has made us both Jew and Gentile one now. And he has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing what? The law of commandments expressed in ordinances. So that's what broke down this barrier of the dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile in the first century. The law was what was there keeping them from fellowshipping together. Jesus has broken that, the old covenant law, down. You say, oh, well, now are we just free to sin? God forbid. Let's go to Romans 6. Truly, God forbid. May it never be. But he has broke down the dividing wall between us, that he might create in himself one new humanity. It's the word man, it's the word anthropos. It can be man, mankind. That he might make himself one new humanity in place of the two. You see, there was the humanity of the Jews. There was the humanity of the Gentiles. Cultures were different. Everything about them, they did not view themselves as the same. Now you're one. You're a believer in Christ. We are one. There's nothing that we should look at one another and see in our gender, our race, anything that we would say, you know, you can't have fellowship with me. I can't have you with me. Verse 17, jumped ahead too far. Verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments, verse 16, that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility between us. You think about being in hostility with another believer. long for the day you can, and pray for the day and get to the day you can invite them into your house and share food with them. There's something divine about it here. He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the entire structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you all are being built together into a single dwelling place of God by the Spirit. That's what's at stake here. That's why we need hospitality, because it is an outworking of proper theology and the work of Christ within his body. And we need it. Oh, how we need it. We've just gone through a time when hospitality has been more difficult for any of us in our lives. Okay, I'm not saying throughout history here. Let's overcome that. And maybe it's not quite today, but when will it be? And let's get there. Hospitality is needed to show the divine fellowship, and it needs to be today. It needs to be shown in our lives. This may be one of the most powerful and truly otherworldly facts of our faith in this world. This world needs to see believers showing hospitality to one another. Regardless of everything that has divided us, may we show this hospitality, and guess what? It's going to feel good. I'm not a feel-good preacher. You guys know that about me. All right? I don't just say, hey, what's going to make everybody... This is one thing. Go for it. Indulge in it. Celebrate what Christ has done together with one another. Celebrate what Christ has provided with one another. Together, and celebrate God's sovereignty with one another. Together. Yeah. Hospitality shows the theology of divine love and grace. Let's look at this really simple little passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want you to see it highlights this aspect of, 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, we can all sit there and be like, I got to clean the house up. I got to shove everything into the closet again. I got to get the vacuum out. I got to light a candle. I'm not talking about grumbling about the work. That's not what this passage is about. This passage is about divine love and grace, and hospitality shows a love that has overcome sin. See, this connects back to verse 8. Let me read that one to you again. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And we connect that with verse 9. Show hospitality to one another. Connect that with the loving one another. Without grumbling, connect that to how love covers a multitude of sins. And you can see hospitality is the correct theological application of what God has done for us, to show it to one another. As God in Christ has forgiven you, so forgive one another and share provision and break bread together. Lastly, hospitality, dear friends, is worship. There are other aspects of worship. I'm not saying that's just what worship is. Hospitality is an expression of worship. Listen to Hebrews 6, verse 10. We're going to get a couple passages in Hebrews. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews 6, first of all. Hebrews 6, we'll read to you in verse 10. And again, keep this in mind in light of Romans 12, 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This provision out of need, whether it's in-home or sending a gift, all factors in here. Hebrews 6, 10. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. The love that you have shown for his name. That is bringing honor and glory and praise to him. That's worship leadership right there. It's what a worship leader should be. That you cause others to glorify his name. Just not with a guitar or a piano. Not behind a microphone. It's often behind a table. And serving one another. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name. There's not too many things in the scripture that are highlighted in such a way to say, God's not going to overlook that. We're reformed. We're nothing but wretches, nothing but worms. Let's ignore that verse and move on. Come on, people. Look what the word of God says. Sola scriptura. We'll stay reformed, okay? Sola scriptura. God is well pleased when you show hospitality. His name is glorified through Christ. Not of your own work. Not because, wow, you are just a hospitality king and queen and you've outdone everybody else, and it's not through Christ. It's absolutely through Christ. It's absolutely tied in theologically with God's sovereignty, with the reconciliation of Christ, and with his provision that we are now being servants of the Most High and doing. But it brings praise to his name. Seek it. Later in Hebrews, look at chapter 13. Read two verses out of this. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Is this verse talking about worship in some form? Got a couple people nodding. Thank you. You all can nod. Yes. The sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, is worship. Absolutely. Where does this worship stem from? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and share with what you have. For with such sacrifices, sacrifice of praise to God in the last verse, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You're bringing honor to his name. Because you are showing off proper theology through hospitality and giving. You truly are. And then you'll remember this one. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you have done for us by your sovereign grace, by the reconciliation through Christ out of your divine love. And we worship you as we consider it. Father, we pray that we would do exactly as your scripture tells us. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Father, we know this is not of our doing. This is only by your grace and only through your risen Son, Jesus Christ, and his work in our lives. It is for that reason that we seek that our sacrifice would be a praise to you. It would lead to the fruit of lips that acknowledge your name. So, Father, may we very simply, but for the most wonderful of reasons, show hospitality to one another. May any grumbling that we would have towards one another that would keep us apart be done away with by a love that covers a multitude of sins. May this be so for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.